This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationship therapist, Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Today, we are talking about safer sex, and that is because I have a Spotify user called Yes, I'm Zrinka, and they asked for an episode on safe sex on Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify, it says, oh, what do you want us to talk about next? Yes, I'm Zrinka said, talk about safe sex, so here we are. Guys, what I'm trying to say is, if you message us in, we'll bloody do it. So get those messages in. Follow us on Instagram. Talk to us on TikTok. Get in touch with us on X, formerly known as Twitter. We're at the RSC Pod everywhere. And listen to us on Spotify or wherever else. So let's not waste any time, though, because safe sex, safer sex is an important topic. I mean, I think the way to start with how to have safer sex is starting, of course, with consent. First and foremost.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to even be here in the first place? So talk to us a bit about consent. We've done a few episodes on it, but what can people do to make sure they're in a consensual scenario?
Well, it's interesting you say that because there are so many different ways of approaching consent these days, I think. So you've got to be sure that the person that you're with is consenting, as well as that you are consenting, if you see what I mean. So a lot of people are kind of coerced into sex that they don't really want because they feel embarrassed to be in a situation where someone is behaving as though they have already consented. And because that's happening, they do actually go along with something they don't really want. So it's quite a nuanced and tricky area.
And but I think what you said there is really a really important thing to say as well is obviously you need to make sure you have consent from the other person, but also consent from yourself. Like, consent is such a contentious issue that people talk about it in lots of different ways on the internet and stuff. But there's quite a good thing here that, you know, can give us a pretty good overview, which is the acronym FRIES.
Brilliant.
F, freely given. R, reversible. I, informed. E, enthusiastic. And S, specific. People obviously have issues with this and all that sort of stuff, but I think it's pretty good. But freely given. So, you know, you're not under any sort of
duress.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not being coerced, like you mentioned before. Reversible. You can consent to sex, but, you know, whilst it's happening, be like, you know what? I'm actually
change your mind. Yeah.
Yeah, you change your mind.
Not into this. No.
Exactly.
Headache coming on.
yeah. Or whatever it might be.
Informed
as well. And I think this one is interesting, but I think with informed, what they mean is, do you know the entire context? There was a great TV show, I May Destroy You, in which this girl meets a guy, which has loads of these sort of scenarios, but a girl meets a guy, it threw up quite an interesting ethical conundrum. A girl meets a guy in a club, they're getting together, and he goes to the toilet. This other guy comes over and starts flirting with her, and she gets with him. The other guy returns from the toilet, these two guys get on, and the three of them have a threesome. And that was all consensual, great. But the next morning, or later that evening, she sees them leaving, and the two guys high five, and it's like they clearly know each other and they clearly planned this whole thing. And then it dawns on you, well, is that really consensual? Did I have the full information?
Yeah, didn't have the full picture, the context.
Was I truly informed? And so that's another thing you need to make sure I have here. Do I really know what's going on here? Do I know who this person is? All that sort of stuff. E, enthusiastic. You've got to be into this, guys. You've got to be into it, and so do they.
If you're with somebody who isn't being enthusiastic, if you're with somebody who isn't showing enthusiasm for the process, then you have to stop.
That's it. I think what you should be looking for is an enthusiastic yes rather than absence of an enthusiastic no, if that makes sense. Because if there's, that's a good point as well. You know,
if you don't, if someone doesn't seem to be enjoying themselves.
Exactly. You need to notice that. And that can be in body language. It can be in obviously what they say.
Touch.
And the way they touch you, if they're touching you at all. I mean, if they go stiff and not in that way, I mean, they literally just go stiff and rigid and they're not like, they're not really responding. They're not kissing you back. They're not touching you back, that sort of stuff. You've got to stop and say, you know, is this okay? You know, that sort of thing. And similarly in yourself, if you feel yourself doing that, you've got to be like, am I just nervous or do I really want this? Am I enthusiastic? And lastly, S, specific. You know, just because you consent to having sex with someone doesn't mean you consent to other things that you haven't spoken about beforehand happening whilst that's happening. You need to be specific about that. So that's a general overview. And I think that sometimes when people talk about safer sex, they jump straight to let's talk about condoms. But obviously, before you've even got to actually kissing them or any sort of sexual activity, always good to think, is this consensual from myself and them?
Well, actually, contraception is actually an issue, because there's also that whole issue of people removing a condom in the middle of sex,
stealthing, or saying that they
are using contraception like the pill when they're not. You know, I mean, and some people do say they are, but just because they feel embarrassed about asking someone to use a condom, when you should not be embarrassed about that.
Yeah, I think the embarrassment probably comes from people don't want to have that pause to stop the action. People are also worried that if they suggest it, that they're suggesting the other person, you know, might not be clean or might not be safe, that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, it's better for everyone.
Well, so what? You don't know. I mean, let's be honest about this. You don't know.
And it's beneficial for both parties, you know.
Assuming that this is the first time or a casual encounter, then, you should really be having a conversation from the get-go. And people pussyfoot, don't they? It's like talking about death, really. You know, we don't do it. We pass away. We don't die. And so you don't have a conversation about whether or not you're going to shag or whatever. What is possible?
Exactly. I remember I've said before in this podcast, I remember someone saying to me, they were like, I've been on, you know, X number of dates. I've dated this many people. Not a single one of them did I talk about sex with them before, even just in a general way, before we had sex. And I think that's really interesting. And like, you know, you can even talk in a general way and maybe that will help, you know, start that consensual conversation. But you're absolutely right. That comes back to the informed thing, you know, the stealthing, the are they on the pill? Have they just taken the condom off? Like, you need to make, with this consent stuff, you need to be sure. Funny enough, the stealthing comes up again in I May Destroy You. Great TV show focusing on consent.
Michaela Cole
show, yeah. So with a condom, when should one put it on?
Well, it's before there's any sort of genital contact, really. I mean, it's unlikely that you'll get pregnant or get an infection from a little bit of pre-cum on someone's hand, but it is possible. It's possible to get pregnant. It's certainly possible to get an infection if you're messing around, you know, with your genitals in contact, but it's sort of even just vaguely. A lot of penises are very, very leaky. So they could be, you know, and if you're going to touch it with your bare hands, if there's an infection there, you could pass it to yourself. And certainly if there's any semen around, you could certainly pass it on, and also a pregnancy. So
yeah,
definitely worth considering.
Yes, of course, putting it on ASAP if you're having sex with a penis involved. However, let's say I'm a woman with a vulva vagina. I'm with another person with a vulva and vagina, and we're having sex. No condom needed, right?
Well, not necessarily, because you can have the femidom that you might want to use, a sort of female condom, depends what you're going to be doing.
What's a femidom? How does that work?
So you sort of place it over the vulva, and then there's a bit that sort of goes inside so that the area is completely covered.
Wow.
And the other thing to remember is if you're both using condoms for straight sex, if you've got a femidom and a condom, don't use them together because they'll pull each other off.
Oh, wow. And a dental dam, is that correct?
And dental dams, good for anal rimming, that kind of thing, and for oral sex in general.
Yeah, and so what
dental
is...
Dental dams, just a sort of silicone square or latex square. And you can get them in packets where they've got nice fruity flavours, and it really always makes me laugh. I wish I had one here, because they have these packets with all these little fruity colours on them, and, you know, they look really appealing.
I love it. Well, yeah, and so that you would put over the area that you're licking, like you said, the anus perhaps, or just for oral sex, that little square you put over that and lick away. Lovely strawberry, raspberry perhaps.
Lemon. Hello?
I don't know. Lemon. Yeah, love that. Love that.
Blackcurrant, strawberry.
Yeah. I mean,
mango,
like I say,
peach.
I've got to... Okay, let's... Yeah, now we're just...
Banana.
Well, that brings us on to... The next thing. So we've said when one should put a condom on, but we haven't said how. I am sat here now, armed with a banana, and also I have a condom with me. So
I have some condoms.
Oh, wow.
I'm holding up a packet of condoms. These condoms, they're very pretty, actually, very nicely coloured. These condoms I found in the drawer in a hotel in China, along with a leaflet, a safer sex leaflet. And these were free.
Wow.
So the rest of the world, you get a Gideon Bible. In China, you get condoms.
Yeah,
and safer
sex
advice, which I was really impressed by. But it's all in Chinese, so it doesn't tell me how to put them on.
Did you try and use the Google Translate camera thing on your phone, or did you just go for the condoms anyway and just start?
No, this is a sealed packet. It has not yet been used.
What the hell? We'll get that open right now.
Well, I was going to. I actually had a banana too, but then I got peckish. So
you've already chowed down on your
I've already
penis.
Eaten the banana.
Oh,
yeah.
For God's
sake.
Sorry
about Fair
that.
Enough.
Oh, yeah, well,
so we have to use yours.
We're going to have to use mine. And now I'm going to have to be put to the test about how to... use a condom. So first and foremost,
I think I should avert my eyes.
In some ways, this is every mother's worst nightmare, but is this not in some ways every mother's dream, that they're like, I'm going to now inspect how he does this, and if he does it right, I'm going to be so happy? That feels weird. Maybe that's not
No. No, I will trust
like,
that you do
safe.
It right. I want, you know, I'm very impressed that you have condoms. That's great.
Yeah. That's great. But I could have them. And much like you, they might just be sealed up in a Chinese box.
Chinese condom. I'm so impressed with that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, but then again, the Bible might be a contraception for us. That if I go to the drawer of my hotel room over here and I see the Bible, I'm like, well, babe, not tonight. I'm not feeling it now. You know, so maybe that's our contraception. All right. So I've got my condom here. And the first thing you do is check the condom packet for two things. One, you're checking to see if there's any, even in the packet, if there's any piercings or any, like, maybe holes in it. Maybe it's gotten, you know, people have them in their wallets, in their purses, that sort of thing. Maybe it's gotten stabbed by a pen, some eyeliner, I don't know, tweezers.
By some eyeliner?
I don't know.
When you said see if it's got any piercings, I was imagining all these little kind of nose ring type things through it.
Yeah. Yeah, not quite. So we got that. Then the second thing you want to check is whether it's still in date. Again, a lot of people will have these condoms. This condom has come from my bag that I, you know, take to and from work every day. I take all over the world.
You're expecting to get lucky at work.
Listen, again, I knew you'd pull me up on this. Listen, I've never used
you
this
just
condom.
Carry it with you everywhere. You carry it with you everywhere,
just
in
case
the moment arises. Yeah.
Yeah. And let me tell you, Mum, has it? No.
Well, clearly not, because it's still there.
Will it? No. But this condom is very much still in date. It's 2026 and it's August that it goes out of date. So anyway, right, that's what we've got to with that now. So then you take your condom and there should be little jaggedy edges, and you open those at one of the side and pull down. And again, there's another chance.
The packet has the jaggedy edges.
Yes, the packet does. Yeah, so the
not
packet
the
has the jaggedy edges. Not the condom. Yeah. The condom should be spherical.
Ooh.
he's lovely, he's round, he's quite wet on the inside. And so another chance to just inspect the condom now to see if there's any holes in it or anything. But also what you want to do is make sure that the condom is the right way round. There is technically a wrong way round for it to be. So it should look like at the moment like a little sombrero. And you need to make sure that the fold, it's sort of like coming up on the inside of the rim, the bit of
Well, it'll be
plastic.
Wet on the outside if it's the wrong way round, won't it? Because there should be some spermicide in there.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, now my hands are getting so sticky already.
Oh, and it's on your thumb.
I put my thumb in there. This is the actual size. And okay. But it will look more like a tent the wrong way around. The right way around, it will look more like a sombrero. The fold will be tucked underneath and up. That's the way you want it. Anyway, then I'll get my banana. What you want to do is pinch the top
it's
of
very
it.
Very brown, that banana. It doesn't look very tasty.
I know, it's not good.
Well, at least you're putting it on the outside with the skin, so you'll be able to eat it afterwards.
I will. Of course I'll eat it afterwards. So you pinch the top to get some of the air out of that, and then you pull the condom down on the banana.
Roll.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That looks fab, doesn't it?
That's a well-protected banana.
That's ready to go, that.
No baby bananas here.
I'd happily put that anywhere. On my person. The reason that you have to pinch that little bit at the top is because that bubble, otherwise, if it's got loads of air in it, that might risk of popping. So if you pinch it, it takes the air out of it. And that way, if you are to ejaculate, then it's got room to go into, rather than just like the ejaculation will just like hit the air will burst the thing, and then it's a nightmare. Anyway, I think that's how to put on a condom. Same again, when you finish, pinch the top. And then roll it back up and pull it off.
And dispose of carefully.
Yeah, don't flush it down the toilet, guys. Really, that's not good for the plumbing.
Don't leave it lying on the floor.
Yeah, and don't do that either.
Because you could slip over on that.
Yeah, and this banana skin.
You speak the truth. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, great. I think we've done a good service there. But interesting to talk about condoms because... anal sex, do I need to use a condom or would I need
you
to use...
You do need to use a condom. Right. You can get stronger condoms because getting through the sphincter, it's a bit rougher. So you need a more tough condom.
Yeah,
so
that's going to withstand
that. You can get extra strength ones, yeah.
And just to clarify, can you get pregnant or can you develop an STI from anal sex?
Well, yeah, actually, yes. It's more likely that you will pass on an infection into cuts around the anus, for instance. I mean, it's very possible to have small cuts in the rectum around the anus. And particularly if you have any sort of hemorrhoids or anything like that, they can very easily, you know, become infected. So, yeah, you do have to be very, very careful about anal sex. If you can get pregnant. If you ejaculate in the anus and the sperm runs out, it can just run around and, you know, enter the vagina.
Wow. I do love this because the way that we've referred to sperm is by like running round. It feels like they're very personified. I guess they are little people, but it is just so funny.
It's
like they're running round from the anus to the vagina to go and pregnant. I guess they're swimming in and not running around.
But you can't rely on. I mean, with things like herpes, you can't rely on a condom to offer complete protection from infection, because the area, even when you don't have an outbreak of herpes, the area can still be shedding the infection. So the area around the condom, you know, so your sort of groin area in general can still shed. If you're getting any tingling in the genital area, then just avoid sex, because it might be that something is more likely that you're shedding at a time when you're feeling tingling. But you can be shedding the rest of the time. You just have to be super careful.
Only if you know that you've got herpes, of course, you know, because otherwise I'd say if we all thought, well, if I feel a tingling downstairs, I won't have sex, then obviously that we're all going to stop.
Well, it depends on the tingling. If it's a tingling that you associate with an outbreak. But many people only ever have one outbreak. Some people only ever have one. And then they still might be able to pass on herpes. Or you can carry it for years and years and years. You never have an actual outbreak. And then one day you're stressed and you do. There's an increase in orally transmitted herpes as well.
And in that scenario, there's no condom that will sort that out. I guess there's just no kissing from there.
Well, no, if you're using dental dams or condoms when you have oral sex.
Oh, you mean oral sex, not through the mouth? Yeah, right, oral sex. Right. Yeah.
Obviously, if you've got a herpes outbreak around the mouth, you can pass on herpes. Although you might have herpes simplex, you can still cause genital herpes. Although it's a different strain, but you can still cause an infection and pass on, by kissing any area of the body. So if you, for instance, if you're kissing the breasts and you've got a sore on your lips, you can cause an outbreak.
And of course, you need to be careful of what's going in where and when. So with sex toys and stuff, if you're sharing them, I mean, maybe don't, but also if you do want to, wash them.
I mean, you can use a condom on a sex toy. You can cover a sex toy with a condom or a dental dam. But if you're going to share them, then you should really wash them between, especially anything that's been near the anus, particularly. You want to ideally remove the condom and wash either your penis, your hand, your sex toy, whatever it happens to be, to be really, as safe as you can be, because you don't want to go spreading infection. You certainly don't, if you've stuck your penis in someone's bum, you don't then want to stick it in their mouth or their vagina.
Yeah.
Without a good scrubbing.
Absolutely.
Without the use of soap and water. you will cause an infection.
Yeah, serious infection. The reason I was giggling then is because former alumni of the Real Sex Education, Olga Koch, I went to go and see one of her shows the other day, and she told a joke in there about how she had a joint honours in in anal, oral and vaginal, and then said in that order, which, as you were saying there, not good. was infection. infection hell.
Central. Unless she's, to get you had a wash in between.
Exactly. Well, I didn't get to ask her, but I'll make sure to.
Shame. Next time.
Exactly. Okay, so we mentioned STIs, but I think also with STI tests, a good way to keep having safe sex is to have regular STI tests. So I think what I've heard is a good rule of thumb is every 6 months or in between different sexual partners.
Partners, yeah.
And do you know what? They're good fun to do. Honestly, I enjoy doing them because you can literally, Sexual Health London, send them, this is what's great, is they send them to your house and they're free. And then they give you a little thing to send them back for free as well via the mail. And they're great because you've got to extract, I mean, you've got to pee into a little box, which obviously sucks. And then they take your blood as well. And I think getting the blood out is quite tricky. Now I know that if I go for a run and have a shower, super easy. Anyway, I love doing them. That's great. And then when you come back and you get a text saying you're all good to go, lots of greens, negative, it's great. So that every 6 months or in between sexual partners, brilliant. And like I say, a lot of these services are free and they can send them to your house because obviously it might be for some people.
Yeah, I think
busy.
It's important to emphasize that you don't need to have symptoms to have an infection. You can have an infection without any symptoms at all. So don't wait for symptoms. And if you do have symptoms, they may well be of a fairly minor condition, but whatever it is, it won't get better unless you address it and get it cleared up. And that's important to do.
There's a lot of stigma about STIs, but I think one thing we hope to do is just get rid of that stigma. At the end of the day, it's a kind of illness that everyone gets, like common cold, that sort of thing. But that isn't to say don't have safe sex. I'm just saying that if it was to happen, don't freak out, but do get tested and get cleared, because a lot of them are very treatable, but don't leave them too long because then the complications can really start to ramp up.
Absolutely. I mean, there are lots of complications associated with them. So ideally, you'd want to avoid them if you could. And with some conditions more than others, there are complications. Mm. I mean, there's been an increase in syphilis recently. And that's a condition where you may well not have symptoms, or you may have an initial symptom that goes away and you think, oh, that's fine. And then you know, it's going into different stages and you can have really quite serious health issues around it, that it can affect your brain, it can affect your heart and your joints. And that's not very pleasant, and then much harder to get rid of as well. And, all of these things can affect your fertility if you don't get them treated. That's not to scaremonger. It's just to say what Digger is saying about having regular checks is really important, because if you've got no symptoms, you'll think you're fine and you won't be, and you'll be spreading something, and also it could be causing damage to your body too.
Wow. I love that when you said what Digri's saying is really important. That just felt like, I don't know why that felt so good. All right. So it's like the student and the master, and the master's been like, well done, Padawan. I'm like, yeah. So I've got a couple more questions for you on this, and then maybe we'll take a quick break. Potential safe words for some of the crazier stuff. Again, this comes back to consent, but if you guys are involving yourselves in something a bit more risque, again, needs to be consensual, needs to be specific, needs to be spoken about. And within that, maybe you need to have some safe words. And firstly, if it's like some serious kink, look at ways of doing that safely.
Yeah, you need to know. This is one of the times when information is really important. You need to know what you're letting yourself in for. And if you have a scene or role play, you need to know what the story is. You need to be sure you're going to stick to it. And safe words need to be something like bananas.
Dakota.
They need Dakota, exactly. They need to be a word that you've agreed between you, because words like stop aren't going to, if you've got a good story going, stop may mean go.
And no may mean yes, you know.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. If it's a story.
Consensual non-consent or a story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you need a good word that you've both agreed and you're both sure about. And if there is any taking no notice of the safe word, then you should stop and get yourself out of that situation right away.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't underline that one enough. And last but not least, one of the things that's looked up about safe sex a lot online, we've covered so much of it today, but where should you have safe sex?
Well, where you can't be overlooked, ideally. Anywhere.
I
mean, obviously, you don't want to be sort of balancing on the top of a building, a tall building.
That's not very safe. Yeah,
that's not safe. No. So somewhere where you feel comfortable and okay. So again, one of you may want to have sex on the kitchen table, and the other one might want to be in a bed. So again, it's something you need to discuss before you get started, because don't do anything that surprises somebody. You just make sure you've discussed what you're going to do. Or even if you like the idea of being surprised, then discuss in advance what you might be surprising somebody with, so that it is a surprise, but it's not 100% of a surprise, because you've already consented, if you see what I mean.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I mean, if you want to play a rough game, for instance, don't suddenly do that out of the blue. Make sure the person's up for it.
Absolutely.
Before you do it.
Brilliant. Well, we are going to talk about period sex after the break, because actually these things are quite intertwined, and a lot of the things that people look up on the internet involve period sex as well when they're talking about safer sex. So let's be back right after this.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to The Real Sex Education. We're having a great time. I'm loving this, talking about safer sex. Probably because in that first half you were like, well done, Diggs, essentially is what you said.
For goodness sake.
So weirdly, period sex and safer sex are oddly, at least on the internet, they're really quite intertwined. And a lot of people ask about a lot of the same questions. They go, is pregnancy possible during a period? Can you get an STD? So let's answer those questions first. Is pregnancy possible when you're on your period?
Yes. Yes, it is. Because although you would think the period is at the end of the menstrual cycle, it's what happens at the end when the lining of the womb is shed. Those little sperm can hang around for quite a while. So you could, so they could be lurking somewhere in the reproductive tract. And when you do ovulate a few days later, so, you know, you could ovulate any time between the end of your period and the middle of the month kind of thing, then you could have a pregnancy. So that's quite likely. I mean, they can hang around for about 10 days. So it's really possible. Yeah. It is actually not a bad idea to wear a condom if you're going to have intercourse when somebody's bleeding, just in case you've got any nicks or cuts anywhere, just in case there's anything being, you know, there's any sort of sign of infection or anything, it's more likely to be passed on. And also the other way, you know, the other way around, if you've, many penises are really grubby, to be fair. So it's a good idea to, because you know you're a bit more vulnerable when you're bleeding, so perhaps.
Yeah, I mean that's interesting, because one of the I thought whilst we're talking about having sex on your period, I thought to sort of dispel some of those myths maybe, or talk about some of the things, because people often think, well, you know, I can't possibly get their blood on my penis, because then
it should be okay, but then you do have a hole into your body at the end, you know, at the end of your penis, don't you?
Yeah.
And the other way around, you know, so do women. Yeah. And I mean, on the basis that you're shedding the lining of the womb, then there's a bit more vulnerability to infection there if you're putting something in, you know, and protect your bed, you know, put a couple of towels down or something like that if you're bleeding heavily and you want to do that. But there's no reason why you can't do other things. Don't, for God's sake, do not have sex with a tampon. Do not have sex with a tampon inserted, because there you are asking for an infection. That's not a great idea, and also it could get stuck behind your cervix or something, which would be horrible. So don't do that. But if you want to have oral sex or something like that, then, you know, putting in a clean tampon, having a wash, have some oral sex, nothing wrong with that. But some men do use the period as a time to ask for another kind of sex, when maybe somebody doesn't feel like they want sex, because in the first couple of days of a period, they might be feeling a bit crampy or uncomfortable, and they don't really want to have sex. So they don't want to be giving you a blowjob or having anal sex or anything like that, because they don't feel great in the first place. So don't coerce.
Oh, but babe, I'm going to get blue balls.
Yeah, well, that's rubbish, isn't it? So.
Well, just to say though, I think you mentioned this in your book. What is blue balls, and what, because there is this coercive element to period sex, and I think actually it's not, sometimes not even coercive. I think some people buy into this. They're like, oh well, when I'm on my period, it's time for me to pleasure my boyfriend. Like, which maybe if you want to do that, fine, but it's like the expectation that you would do that. Yeah, exactly, is a bit strange. So with the blue balls thing, which a lot of people say with the coercion thing, like what is blue balls, and is it actually bad for you?
No, if you get aroused, then sometimes people find that their testicles become a bit achy if they don't ejaculate. Some people find that, but really, you know what, if you wait a minute, it'll pass. So there's that. And it won't hurt you, and you won't die, and your balls won't explode or anything like that. But if you're really desperate, go and masturbate, you know, that's fine. On the other hand, you know, what you could be doing, whatever your gender, you could be giving your menstruating partner an orgasm, because that does help with cramps if they want one. You know?
Wow. That, okay. Yeah.
It does. It does make them period pains a bit better sometimes. So, you know, if you feel up for that, it's more the other way around, you know, be pleasing the girl rather than the girl pleasing the guy.
Babe, I've got loads of cramp. Make me come. That sounds, I don't know why, that sounds better.
But there's a medical reason for that, whereas the blue balls thing isn't justified.
Yeah, and I can't remember where I read it, but someone said they were like, and if you do have blue balls, literal balls that have gone blue, that is a medical emergency and you're allowed to go.
Call 999,
Go to 999. You don't have blue balls, you've got a little ache, go to the toilet and knock one out.
You don't have to do it in the toilet. You know,
don't be ashamed.
That's a bit grim.
Whatever.
I can just imagine all these people hammering on the door and somebody saying, leave me alone, I've got blue balls.
Exactly. You're at work, for God's sake, man. A couple more questions on this, which people seem to look up a lot. Can period sex cause a UTI? Oh, and what is a UTI?
It stands for urinary tract infection. So it's an infection that in your urethra or anywhere right. from your urethra to your bladder to your kidneys. So hopefully it will be confined to your urethra if you get one and won't go any further. But it can make you feel like you really want to go to the loo and there's only a little dribble to come out. You just, you know, it's really uncomfortable. So
yeah,
you don't
and that dribble
want
feels like you're
it.
Peeing flames. It's not good. It hurts.
Mm. Well, sometimes people do pee blood because they've got a lot of inflammation. Yeah.
Wow. Just with the UTI and not even kidney stones.
No. UTI. Just with the UTI.
Whoa.
Because actually, people think that urine is sterile. It isn't. Then there's. Why are you laughing?
The reason I'm laughing is, again, I've remembered another quote from a comedian saying that some bad thing happened to them. They had to give a urine sample, and they said that if they'd popped a celery in it, it would have been a Bloody Mary.
That's how
much blood was coming out.
Bad infection then.
That's a bad one.
You don't, but I mean, you don't always get blood, and I mean, it's not always, and feeling uncomfortable is not necessarily always an infection, but it's worth getting it checked out. Don't assume it's not.
Yeah.
Just the friction from intercourse for some people can cause an infection. And if you've got a partner with a dirty willy, then you're more likely to get an infection. That's much more likely to cause an infection than your menstrual blood. But, you know, the combination, it's not necessarily going to be helpful.
No, exactly. Well,
you look a bit crestfallen.
Yeah, crestfallen. I was like, oh, I wanted to get a UTI. No, I've had a UTI. They're bloody terrible. Yeah. So I wouldn't want to wish that on anyone. To be honest, the reason I'm crestfallen is because I think that is today's episode, gang. Please do, as I say, get in touch. Let us know your safer sex tips, all that sort of stuff. And make sure you're subscribed to us here, wherever you're listening or watching right now. And we will see you next time for some more real sex education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.